That was awesome. I don't light your fire, your wood's wet, right? Man, that was good. Appreciate that very much. It's good to have Brother House with us this morning. And again, I've already kind of introduced him. Evangelist from the big city of Joshua, Texas. Again, such a blessing to have him to be with us all this week.
Thank you, Pastor. If you'll open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3, and I'd like to, while you're doing that, I just clear the air for some of the more reasonable members that are here. 18 years. 1 year I got my calendar mixed up, and the Sunday I was supposed to be here, I was finishing up in Gulfport, Mississippi. One time. Today I've heard 27 people say, you know, I believe it's a setup, and I'm tired of it, so cut it out. If you've only missed one Sunday in the last 18 years, you can say something to me. The rest of you, keep your mouth shut, all right? You're going to get this. Later this, and I am glad to be here, and they're my dear friends. That's my cousin with the arm in her slack, you know. Nothing wrong with her. She just doesn't have to work. That's a three-day recovery. She'll have that thing on till July if somebody gets off of it, you know. It's pitiful. But they're my friends. They were my friends when they were young. They're not young anymore. What Harry's got's turning gray. He ain't got that much, not much to worry about there. But they're my friends, always will be. You'll get this at the end of the service, the brochure concerning a lot of things to be done. And inside it gives you all the opportunities, or many of the opportunities, tithes and offerings, faith promise missions, campus development, youth fund, special, well, that should say evangelist fund. How does it work? How can you get involved? And how is it used? That kind of a thing. And I love your verse, but continue thou. The only problem is some ain't started yet. And I think probably that's where we ought to start. And so I want to talk to you this morning on preparation for stewarding a new year and a new day in your life. When you woke up this morning, God gave you a gift. Now, when we woke up, what is this, the 21st? What? 20th? When we woke up the 20 days ago, God had given many of you a new year. I measure mine in days. I don't go with that year thing. Matter of fact, I don't even buy green bananas. But that's life. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So we're going to talk about preparation for continuing and getting ready. And, you know, some of us were talking earlier, just waking up is a wonderful thing every morning. But the fact that God let us be in charge of managing His world gives it a really marvelous, wonderful gift that He lays in our hands. And, you know, we ought to take better care of it today than we did yesterday. And we ought to take better care of it this week than we did last week. And we sure ought to take care better care of it this year, if God gives us the year, than we did last year. There's a constant growing that needs to take place. And if we're going to do that, if we're going to really care for the gift better, we need to read the owner's manual every once in a while and see what it is there that we should do. So, now I'm really, You know, what I know in my mind is that when I announce the text, about 90% of you are going to just turn off right then because you can quote it. And you're going to say, I know that. We're not talking about what we know. We're talking about what we're doing. So let me read it to you. We'll take our chances. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, you need to pay attention to the book and the brochure. We look at that, and it's getting beyond our abilities. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Watch carefully now, and he shall direct thy paths. A lot of Christians come to the first part of a year and the challenge conferences, and they're saying to themselves, and maybe they don't verbalize it, and maybe they don't even say it to themselves this way, but what they're really needing and what they really are looking for, hopefully, is I really want to know the will of God for what God wants me to do right now, this year. We ought to be seeking God's will every day. Amen. Isaiah left us an interesting thought in Isaiah 58:11. He said, and the Lord shall lead thee continually. Sounds to me like when we get through with the day following the Lord, we still hadn't got there. And we get up tomorrow and he continues to lead and he continues to lead until one day it gets far better than what the book said. Far better. Yep, that's the way it's going to be. But we're kind of like that losing football team. You heard about it, I'm sure. They hadn't won a game all season. Everybody knows the coach is going to get fired if they don't win a game. They're playing the last game of the season. They've come down to just a few seconds left, and the opposing team fumbles the ball down on their 2-yard line. And now this losing team has possession of the ball, 2 yards to score, and the coach knows if they can just score, he'll win the game, and he'll keep his job. So he's throwing out his very best plays. Quarterback looks over there, and the coach sends in play number 34. Well, they run number 34 and lose 4 yards. They look back at the coach again. He sends in play number 28. They run number 28 and lose 5 yards. Now the crowd's booing. The coach is looking back at him. They're making ugly gestures at him and booing at him. And it's time to run the ball, and all of a sudden the crowd's cheering, and he looks around, and the referees are standing there with their hands up in the air, and his team has scored a touchdown. You can't believe it. And they won the game, and the coach keeps his job. And he's talking to the quarterback later, and he said, son, what in the world did you do in order to win that game? He said, every play I called in, we were losing yardage. He said, well, coach, you come to that last play, and I looked over for you, and you were looking at the crowd, and they were booing you, and I didn't know what to do. And I looked at this fellow, and his number was 8, and I looked at this fellow, and his number was 6. And I said, well, 8 and 6 is 14, so I called play number 14, and we scored a touchdown. He said, you dummy. 8 and 6 is not 11. 8 and 6 is 14. He said, well, coach, if I'd been as smart as you are, we'd lost that game. And we're getting smarter and smarter and dumber and dumber. I tell you, we need to be careful where we get our smarts. We need to be careful what we put in up here and who's directing us, you see. And if we're not careful, we Christians will get smarter and smarter and lose the game. Matter of fact, we're losing. We're losing ground. We're falling behind. But yet, in my lifetime, we have split that. They have split the atom. We put a man on the moon. We put a probe to Mars. We have satellite communication around the world. We have heart transplants and artificial hearts and new medical devices, and still plagued with a disease we can't cure, and a crime rate that's up 500%. Smarter and smarter and dumber and dumber. So in that kind of a world, how do we find God's way? How do we prepare to get started and then continue in this thing of the stewardship of life and the stewardship of this year and the stewardship of our gift? And the Lord shall guide thee continually. How do we get in on that? Well, we just read it. You know it. You could take it from here and fly by remote control. But I want you to look at it. First thing, number one, if you really want to get started, you really know you really messed up last year. Two of us did anyway. I mean, you know you goofed it off. You know you didn't do half of what you could have done for God. And it troubles you. And you want to find God's will for your life and do it. First thing, you must love God above all else. Proverbs 3:5, it's pretty interesting. Trust in the Lord with all thine what? Heart. See, it's a heart thing. Amen. It's a heart thing. It's amazing, you see. This half-hearted religion that we've got today is not going to get the job done. This Sunday morning only religion, it's not going to get the job done. All thine heart. You know, look at it in your Bible in verse 5. See if you can find it. All thine heart. Verse 6, look at it. It gets even more interesting. All thy ways. And then look at verse 9. With thy substance, all thy substance. Now put it together. With all your heart, that's all your worship. The pastor brought out this worship thing. We about got away from it. We just do church now, not much worship involved in it. Get it over with. Do all your heart, that's all your worship. All your ways, that's all your work. And all your increase, that's all your wealth. Now, question, why would anybody be afraid to do that? Because you're not sure of the consequences. You're not sure you can count on God to do what he said. And so you have to learn to just love God above all else. If someone came to you and they said, I want you to do something for me, what's the first question you would ask them? Well, what is it? What do you want me to do? And they say, well, it's none of your business. Will you do something for me? Well, now, I'm going to tell you, if you come to me like that, I'm going to tell you no. That's Arkansas for no. I'm not going to do it. No. Not even going to think about it. Why? Because I don't know you, therefore I can't trust you. Right? But it's interesting. See, if I do that for you, I don't know what the consequences are going to be. But God says, now give it all to me. Your worship, your work, your wealth. You know, and the Bible says we can trust him. So we know the consequences will be good. So why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we want to do that? Why wouldn't that be the excitement of our lives? See, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It is big time. Christianity is a big time heart matter. Jesus talked about it. He made it very plain. He said, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Oh, we can sing it. And we can testify to it. But if we don't get our heart into it, we're not going to get started, much less continue. Oh, it's a very interesting thing. Now, if you really get to know the Lord, you'll love him. And if you love him, you can trust him. And if you trust him, you can obey him. And if you obey him, the blessings come. Trust in the Lord with all. We must love God above all else. Second thing, if you want to get started and continue, not only love him, lean on him at all times. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, watch now, and lean not to thine own understanding. Now, we're taught from kindergarten up to be reasonable. Reason it out. Figure it out. Work it out. Work through it. And the Bible says in these things, when it comes to following him, lean not to thine own understanding. See, faith and sight are two different things. Your understanding of something doesn't necessarily have to be what the truth is. And we need to understand that. We need to, see. We have to become totally dependent on God. Now listen, it's not a plan. It's not a purpose. It's a person. We need to know God's will. Lean not. Don't sit down and make out your 5-year plan. Yeah. Don't sit down and make out your plan for today. Acknowledge God. Find out God's will. Let me give you the key to getting started and the key to continuing and the key to God's will. Serious stuff right now. When you learn to love God with all your heart, then you will be able to say, listen very carefully, anywhere, anytime, any cost, and your stewardship battle will be over. You have won the battle. When you can just find you an old-fashioned altar and say now, dear God, anywhere, anywhere, anytime. We got too many folks waiting until they get everything like they want it. And then they're going to serve God. We're just trying to get our ducks in a row. Somebody will shoot them down. You know? I love this one. We're just trying. Well, I'm just trying to find myself. Yeah. Well, dummy, you're sitting in the preacher's office. Found you. Why would not someone whom Christ died for, redeemed by his blood, on their way to heaven, living for one reason alone, and that is to honor God, why wouldn't they say, anywhere, anytime, any cost? Why wouldn't you say that? Why wouldn't in just a couple of few minutes here you say that? Why wouldn't you find God and say, let's just settle this thing, God. I'll go anywhere you want me to do, any time you want me to do it, whatever it costs. You see, you either say that and mean it, or you just play in a religious game. That's the only way you can think about it. The only reason you would not do that is you do not trust God. There's no other reason. See, and we slander God when we think, okay, that preacher is trying to get me to choose God's way rather than my happiness. I said you slander God when you think the will of God is something that's going to cause you less than the best for you. Amen. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of your heart. Amen. Does that sound like bad times? You put God first, anywhere, anytime, any cost, you see. So number one, love God above all things. We're talking about preparing to start and continuing. Some of you look at this, and this is the bad part of church and your year. Some of you don't understand that God's not trying to get your money. He's trying to get your heart. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing when that happens. Love God above all things. Lean completely on God. Thirdly, learn to trust God totally. Look at our verse. And he, verse 6, and he shall direct thy paths. Yeah, I'm born in Arkansas, but I can understand that. He shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
He'll do it. But that's coming after you get the rest of it straightened out. So how do we get this direction, this leadership to start and continue in this stewardship thing and in the stewardship of our life and in the stewardship of this year? Now remember what the Bible says. It is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. So how do we get on that path? How do we do it? He shall direct thy paths, verse 6. Now, he either will do what he says, or we in trouble. He shall direct thy paths. Someone said, well, I just don't know about that. Well, we in trouble. If you don't know about that, what do you know about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you holding on to that for all eternity? If you believe him there, can't you believe him here?
Amen.
See? So how do we get this leadership, this direction? Okay, number one, by the Word of God. We have just about desecrated the use of the Bible.
Amen.
We come to church and all of we preachers, now this is nothing point, all of we preachers, we take a tiny little portion of it, just like I'm doing right now, and set it out as a pattern to live. And it is. But from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is the complete pattern for how to live. And if you want direction for life, you get it from the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A light and a lamp. What else you need to find your way? The Word of God, you see, and we need to understand it. And much of God's will, you know, Baptists are famous for just going crazy. Well, if I could just know the will of God.
Yeah.
You know, oh, if I could only know the will of God. Most of it's in the Bible.
Right.
I want to give you three of them. I'm not going to make comments on them. I'm just going to give you in the Bible. Three different things state plainly the will of God for you. Put them down in your mental notebook. Well, maybe you ought to write them down. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is that every man, woman, boy, and girl be saved.
Amen.
That's God's will.
Amen.
No question about it. Number two, for those who are saved now, Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command and the will of God for you. The will of God for you, if you're saved, is to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
And thirdly, for us who are saved, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Now, our Sunday school teacher ripped us up one side and down the other this morning. Where is Brother? Where's our Sunday school teacher? Way back yonder somewhere. He's asleep. Somebody wake him up. Listen to this. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Let me say this to you. Get saved, or be sure you're saved. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get sanctified. That cuts all that immorality out totally. And you'll be well on your way to knowing God's will for you.
Amen.
Well on your way. So by the Word of God, number one, we learn to trust him totally. By the wisdom of God, we learn. Secondly, if any man of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There's a lot more to that verse. I don't have time for it right now. The preacher's got me under tight time schedule. It's got me so nervous and upset, I can't hardly control myself. It's awful to work under that kind of pressure. You ought not have to do it. Wisdom is nothing more or nothing less than sanctified sense. When God created you, he gave you a mind. When you got saved, he said, now let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. That is sanctified sense. You don't need something else. You just need to get your own sense sanctified through the Word of God and through transformation. And some people think, you know, in other words, it's not emotions, it's not feeling, it's divine use of the mind. Well, I just don't feel like we can get involved in that right now, Pastor. Well, your feelings don't have anything to do with it. Well, you know, no. Lean not to your own understanding and get divine wisdom, you see, because it's what it is. Wisdom is divine use of the mind. So get it. How do we get this direction? By the Word of God, by the wisdom of God, and thirdly, by the work of God. It's amazing to me how God moves providentially in the lives of his people. He can open doors that no man can open. He can close doors that no man can close. He brings a friend along just in time. I have friends out here that some of them, good night, 30-something years now in the providence of God. I remember well how God providentially used my pastor and got to me acquainted with the Johnsons. All these years, God just had it set up. Looks like he could have done better than that, but that's the way it went. Not true. Lovely, wonderful, wonderful friends and preachers. And I hate to say this, but I didn't have anything to do with all that. God providentially. And in some of your lives this last year, God has providentially moved in a way that you never imagined he'd move. For some of you, you've gotten old enough now, you've gone through things that you never imagined that you'd have to go through. And all the time, God working all things together. Didn't say all things were good. Said he worked them together, providentially opening doors and closing doors together for good. See, the work of God. Sometimes he just lets us hear a sermon just in time. A lesson just in time. A friend puts their hand in our hand and shakes and says, can I be of help to you? Just in time. That's the way God works, just in time. So that brings us to the fourth. And now, number one, love God with all your heart. Yeah. Number two, lean on God. And number three, learn to trust him. And number four, let God work. Just let God work. Look in verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Either he will or he won't. In all thy ways acknowledge him. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43:19 said, behold, I show you a new thing. I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. I don't know what you're struggling with. God will make a way. If you want to get real filled with theology and everything, you'll find them saying that God will fill the valleys, cut the mountains, straighten out the curves, and make a straight way. I believe that. I believe God will do that very thing. See, thank God for the promise that when I can't see the way, God will make a way. I have friends here who have been through things you would not believe. They just keep on plugging along, and God will make a way through things that we have no idea. Sometimes when you can't see a way, God will make a way. Sometimes when they say there's no way out, been there lately? God will make a way out. Sometimes when you're wandering in the wilderness of sin, God will make a way out if you'll let Him.
Amen.
And the most wonderful thing, in the time of trouble, the psalmist said in Psalm 50 and verse 15, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee." So I guess all I'm saying is, it really doesn't matter much what you're going through, nearly as much as it matters how you're relating to God while you're going through it. And while you still understand that God is directing you, you see, God will make a way once you will say, anywhere, anytime, any cost. Now, there's no need of you floundering around out there outside God's will and wanting God to do something for you. But anywhere, anytime, any place. Some of you could find complete victory this morning if you could come and mean those words, you see. That would remove all the obstacles that keep you from God's will. Someone wrote years ago, and I'm sorry that I don't know who to attribute it to, "He does not lead me year by year or even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs the way." You get enough of us old coots up here, and we can tell you about those times you never imagined you'd go through, and God made a way.
Amen.
But in those times, you had to say, anywhere, anytime, any cost. You and I ought to be willing to do that. Do you believe the Bible, my friend?
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understandings. In all thy way acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
See, you can have a day that matters. You can have a year that, you can have a life that matters. A day, a year, a life. And it's all wrapped up in that. Those three things I said about the will of God, the first one was that you be saved. Now, you've listened to this today, and you know I'm talking about stewardship and preparing for stewardship this year. But maybe you're here. Now, you may be religious. You may be a church member. But down deep inside, you know that you've never been saved. You know that when you lay your head on your pillow at night, you have no sweet peace and assurance that if you died right then, that heaven would be your home. You're sitting here in church today, and you have no knowledge at all that if you walked out those doors and dropped dead on the parking lot, that heaven would be your home. I'm here to tell you that God wants you to be saved. That's God's will for your life. You say, you don't know what I've done. Well, I didn't set it up. God set it up.
Amen.
And that's God's will for your life, that you be saved. Doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done, God wants you to be saved. Someone said, "I don't know how to be saved." We're going to have an invitation in just about 60 seconds. And when we have that invitation, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, the music's going to begin. And I'm going to ask you to stand at that time. And there'll be counselors here. And you make your way up here, and they'll know why you're coming. And someone will take the Bible and very lovingly and very kindly show you what the Bible says about being born again, about being saved, about becoming a child of God. No more preaching. Preaching's over, someone said. Thank the Lord. No more preaching. No gimmicks. No tricks. No strings attached. You just walk out of here a child of God.
Amen.
On your way to heaven. Amen. Sins forgiven. A brand new future, a gift given to you today. And if you're here and you're saved and you've just never quite got started on this stewardship thing, why don't you today just settle it with God anywhere, anytime, any cost. And during this week, you'll get his will about what you ought to do. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you've been saved, you've never been baptized. You need to bring all of your needs right up here to this altar in the next moment. And God and this good church and pastor will take care of it. Would you bow your head, please, as we get ready for our invitation? Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for it's a good word. And help us, from the youngest to the oldest, to learn to trust you. May we love you with all our heart. That great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Help us, Lord, to seek out and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.